live anytime, anywhere with our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
All right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on KSBT in Sandpoint, KBFI in Bonners Ferry, also coming your way at NorthIdahoRadio.com. And just a quick reminder, you can go to NorthIdahoRadio.com anytime and go back in our local hour archives and hear a show. So say you missed Barbara Carpenter's show this week, you can go back in and find it and listen to it. So it's pretty cool, NorthIdahoRadio.com. This obviously is North Idaho. It's North Idaho Thursday. I want to thank Eric Plummer for joining us yesterday for Ricky's Top 10. Always great doing our annual Super Bowl show, and always great to have Eric as our guest. You know, he owns now Sandpoint Cinemas, formerly the Bonner Mall Cinemas, out in Ponderay, and he was telling us yesterday off air that he's got some top-notch first-run movies coming soon, and he thinks that two of them are going to be up for Best Picture this next year. So you want to check that out at sandpointcinemas.com, I believe, or on Facebook. We've got another good show for you today. First up, we'll be chatting with Mandy Evans, the Executive Director of Better Together Animal Alliance, formerly known as Panhandle Animal Shelter. She'll fill us in on what's happening there, why the name change, and so on and so forth. Always a pleasure to see her. Then in our second segment, we'll meet Patrick Shepler from the new Breakfast Cantina out in Ponderay. And I personally haven't been there yet, but after, you know, reading about it, looking at his menu today, I'm going. I mean, it looks great. So Patrick will tell us what that's all about. And then in our final segment today, we'll have our weekly Bonner General Health Update. This week, we welcome back Dr. Joseph Wassef. He is a PhD, of course, and clinical psychologist at BGH. We'll be chatting about the psychological side of this pandemic, how people are coping with it, it's been an entire year. It's been tough on everybody. Just see how attitudes may be changing from the more negative, maybe just more positivity now that the vaccines are becoming more available. At least the older people are getting it, and it'll be coming to the general public here hopefully sooner as opposed to later. So that should be very interesting. Looking forward to all that. It's been announced this week, the Kootenai Valley Sportsman Association's annual Gun and Horn Show is a go for Valentine's and President's Day weekend. It's February 13th and 14th, of course, at the Boundary County Fairgrounds in Bonners Ferry. It's Saturday and Sunday, the 13th and 14th, 9 to 6. There's the usual raffles and horn contests and stuff like that. Buy, sell, trade, guns, knives, hides, taxidermy. You name it, you can go to KV, Kootenai Valley, sportsman.net. KVSportsman.net for more information. So that's coming up. Coming up this weekend, the virtual Have a Heart Ball, as we just heard Georgia on the ad a few minutes ago telling us about that. You can go to the Bonner General Health Foundation's website and find out how you can participate in the Heart Ball and help build some remodel of the emergency department. So that's a very good thing to do. Banff Mountain Film Festival is also happening virtually right now. You can go online to thepanada.org and find out more about that. There's a great program of Sandpoint Valentine's cards for seniors. So if you want to gather up some Valentine's cards that will be distributed to our local senior citizens, Donna Price is organizing all this. You can bring cards to the Sandpoint Area Senior Center. That you can probably check out their website and find out more about that. So those are the things that's going on. Once again, we'll have Mandy Evans with us from Better Together Animal Alliance in just a moment. Also, Patrick Shepler from the Breakfast Cantina in Ponderay. In our final segment, we'll have our BGH weekly segment. So if I were you, I'd stick around.
As a member of the Sandpoint business community since 1963, Lighthouse Foods is a proud supporter of Bulldog Sports. Since the beginning, Lighthouse has been committed to investing in and having a positive impact on its employees and the communities in which it operates. Proud to be 100% employee-owned, Lighthouse has been named Best Workplace and Best Innovative Manufacturer in Bonner County. Interested in starting a new career? Go online to lighthousefoods.com for a list of current job openings.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty is locally owned and operated, and now with two locations on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry and downtown on Main Street to better serve the community. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home in 2021, think local. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty for a free market analysis today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry and downtown on Main Street. Coldwell Banker. That's the power of blue.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet. Taylor & Sons attempts to offer our customers tremendous value in our sales and service departments. One of our best examples is Taylor & Sons' selection of new and pre-owned Chevrolet Equinoxes. The Equinox's all-wheel drive system is one of the best in class, offering four-season handling equivalent to traditional four-wheel drive models. The Equinox comes with tons of standard and available safety features, such as side blind zone alerts, rear park assist, and slow-speed pedestrian braking. Finally, the Equinox is affordable for a lot of budgets, with pre-owned models starting at $299 per month with $2,000 due at signing, plus taxes and fees on approved credit. All of Taylor & Sons' late model and new Chevrolet Equinoxes come with the security of the Taylor & Sons Powertrain Advantage, offering a 10-year or 150,000-mile powertrain warranty at no cost to you. You can view our entire selection of new and pre-owned Equinox models online at tschevy.com. There you will find multiple pictures, detailed descriptions, and clear transaction pricing for every vehicle in stock. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
At the YMCA, people are the foundation of who we are and who we have been for nearly 170 years. You are the why. And even though the why may look a little different right now, our commitment to you remains as strong as ever. So stay with us. Stay connected with your why. Stay connected with each other. Reach out to your local why today and stay with us for a better us.
North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
All right, we are back here on North Idaho Thursday. I'm Bob Witte, your host here, and we are joined by our good friend Mandy Evans from what is known now as the Better Together Animal Alliance, formerly the Panhandle Animal Shelter. Mandy, how are you?
I am good, thank you.
You look happy and healthy, and
yes.
It's great having you here. It's been educational for me to learn about the Better Together Animal Alliance. Tell us about it and why the name change and how it came about and all that.
Yeah, sure. So about 2 years ago, we embarked on an evaluation of the organization through a strategic planning process. And really at the end of that, it took about 10 months, we realized that our mission and our name just no longer represented the organization. So
all the things that you actually do.
That we actually are doing in the community. So we changed the mission 2 years ago. And took out names like, or words like, abandoned, neglected, and abused, because it sends the message that that's what we see a lot of, and it isn't what we see a lot of. Generally, our community is fantastic. It's wonderful, and a lot of really super caring people. So we changed the mission to be more about supporting and making meaningful connections between dogs, cats, and the people who love them. And then we were planning on launching our rebrand last year, first quarter. And then this really weird thing happened.
Really?
Yeah, strange. but, you know, that was history. We don't have to deal with that anymore. Ha ha. So we decided we didn't want to wait any longer and embarked on this process of renaming our organization. And really what we're trying to convey is that when you think of an animal shelter, you're really thinking of a location, right? Like this is where all the magic happens in this location. And a good portion of our work is happening within the community. So our goal is to try to keep families together so they don't ever have to enter into the animal shelter. Pets, that is.
Yeah. So, you know, I was just thinking this morning, knowing that you're coming on the show, about the old animal shelter out on Great Northern Road back in the 80s. And wow, things have changed. I mean, that was pretty rough.
Oh, it was, yeah, very rough. I actually came to Sandpoint right before the move and saw the old shelter, and all the dogs basically lived outside in the hay. And yeah, it's definitely different now.
So well, with the rebranding and the name change at the former shelter out on Kootenai Cutoff Road, are things operating different, or is it just business as the same? You just took out those words and moved some things around?
Yeah, it's all business as usual. Nothing has changed. In 2019, we housed in the facility 2,500 animals, which is more than we had ever housed in our shelter before in the history of our organization. But then we also assisted about 8,500 to 8,900 animals through our services. And 2,500 of those were those that came into the building. So we're really, our reach is growing.
So how do you assist so many, you know, four times as many animals than you actually have come in the building? How does that work?
Oh, well, we give out about 25 tons of dog and cat food. Okay. And we have spay and neuter programs. We have our Pets for Life program, which means one of our team members, Kendra Dodge, is dedicated to the Pets for Life program. So we target communities. We started in Ponderay. She goes door to door and says, "Hi, I'm Kendra from the Better Together Animal Alliance. Do you have any pets? And do you need our help?" And we provide them with free assistance. And she can't leave that community until she has hit every one of those households.
So I had no idea.
Yeah, she's managing about 900 of the Pets for Life clients. And then we do spay and neuter clinics. We have our helpline that assists about 2,500 animals a year. And a lot of people are calling the helpline because they might need to surrender their pet to the shelter. And what we're trying to do is, how do we troubleshoot? How do we get to the bottom of what the issues are so that we can solve those? So really, when you look at the word or you think of the word neglect, it has been so commonly used as though people are purposely neglecting their pets. And what we see is a gap in access to care. So we are filling that gap. Mm-hmm. So if people just need a vet visit, some people need proof of vaccines to stay where they're living, and they can't afford to go get vaccines. So we would help them with that. So it's just simple things that really reduce the need for pets that need to be surrendered.
And I would imagine some of them just need to be kind of coached into how to train, especially their dog. They just think, oh, that puppy is so dang cute. And you know, especially this last year when a lot of people are stuck inside and said, I live alone. I need a little furry doggy. But you have never had a dog, for example, and you don't know it. So now the dog's out of control and getting out. And
absolutely. And we'll even provide people with free training if that's what's necessary. I have a great story that these two kind of big labs kept getting out of a home. They ended up in yokes. And the police were after them, and they came into our facility.
Were they in the meat department by chance?
Okay, when they go into yokes, it's a problem. And so they came in, and I just said, like, what is going on? Like, what can we do? And he said, it's the snow pushed the cherry tree down. The dogs are climbing the tree and jumping over the fence. I'm like, well, we have somebody here that could go out to your home and help you trim the tree if that's what you need to do. And then he said, oh, a good idea. And we never saw the dogs again. So sometimes it just simply takes having a conversation to see what the options are.
That's great. It's great that you would have somebody who would trim a tree. That's wonderful stuff. So yeah, I've had six labs in my life, and they've done creative things, especially those really snowy years where, you know, they weren't like always trying to get out, but if they could walk over that fence,
oh yeah,
they're going to do it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. they're not dumb.
So one of the great things you guys have developed in recent years is the home-to-home program. So people, instead of just dropping off their dog that they can't maintain, or maybe they're moving into an apartment where they can't keep them, instead of just dropping it off at the shelter and say, here, it's your problem, you actually can connect people who are looking for a pet with people who can't keep their pet. Yeah. How do people find out more about that, and how does it work?
So Home to Home was established at our shelter after, in 2015, we saw an increase in owner surrenders. Then we wanted to figure out a way that we could help the community avoid, because it's, generally speaking, most people that surrender their pet are extremely sad about it. They don't want to do it. So we created this program where people submit a pet profile. It's sent to our team. We approve it. And then it goes automatically onto our Facebook page. So we're promoting their pet the same way that we promote pets that are in the shelter. And it's great. The community loves it. We have so much positive feedback on both sides, just to be able to talk to the owner directly so you really know what you're you're getting. So people can go to our new website, bettertogetheranimalalliance.org. And click on the Home to Home tab, and it will tell you more about the program. Our direct Home to Home page is btaa.home-home.org.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks super easy to use. Again, it's btaa.home-home.org. And there's a tab there to, if you find a pet to adopt, or you need to rehome your pet, and then you just fill out this form and you guys take it from there.
Yeah, it's super easy. And we established the program to be available to shelters throughout North America. So this morning I just learned that our program is being used in 56 shelters throughout North America. We are in at least one shelter in Canada, maybe two. But it's really exciting. It was established at our shelter. And that's another reason for Better Together Animal Alliance, is that we have, you know, all this work that we do. The primary work we do is local, but another arm of our organization is helping shelters throughout the nation.
You mentioned something, you know, really weird happened about a year ago, and it's been affecting our lives ever since. How did that affect the day-to-day business at your place?
You know, I would say that normally I'm always really positive, but I have to say that it affected us in a way that I did not expect. And that was because we are so closely tied to human medicine. So we really struggled getting the appropriate PPE. We had a horrible time securing our feline vaccines. So we really had to cut back on the services that we were so used to doing. And a lot of the programs that we do were established since I've been there. And you know me, I don't do anything small. I want to do more. How do we help more? And so it was really difficult to kind of be out of control on what we were able to do, because we were so restricted and limited just based on being following proper medical protocols. So it was really stressful, but we've been doing a lot of ordering. The Bonner County Economic Development gave us a grant to buy our PPE, so we have a stock now of it. So I'm hoping that, you know, this next spring and summer, when we see the surge, we'll be more prepared.
What occupancy of the shelter right now? Do you have a lot of dogs and cats available, or?
No, it's traditionally right now is a pretty slow time. I don't know how many we actually have in the building. But one of the ways that are up for adoption, one of the ways that we're helping, because we know right now there are a lot of people in transition. It's super hard to find housing here. So we've been doing a lot of boarding of personal pets through our temporary loving care TLC program. So when people have to go into the hospital and they have nowhere else for their pet to go, they can apply for free boarding from us.
That's great.
Yeah, domestic violence when they're running away and they need a safe place for their pet. And also people living in transition that are have to find a new home.
Yeah. Anything on the horizon? Any other new changes for...
No, we are launching our peer-to-peer fostering aspect of our home-to-home program. So it helps just community members who would like to foster other communities' pets, simply like, or just like our boarding, but it would be that these pets could be in homes. But That's it. It's business as usual, just trying to get back on our feet from a pretty challenging year.
And again, the new name for Panhandle Animal Shelter, Better Together Animal Alliance. Find them online. You have a Facebook page. Mandy Evans, thank you so much for joining us. It's always great to see you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's nice to see you, too.
All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, switch gears a little bit, switch it over to one of my favorite subjects, food. And Patrick Shepler is with us from the new Breakfast Cantina out in Pend'Oreille, right down the street from the shelter. And see what he has to say, what it's all about there, and how you can get breakfast tacos. Stick around.
There's always a fiesta at Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Taco Tuesday is back. Check out Jalapeno's Dine-In Only Special. $3 crispy beef or chicken tacos, $4 Mexican drafts, $6 12-ounce Hornitos margaritas, and $8 for the 16-ouncer. Don't forget every Monday is Margarita Monday. Order a 12-ounce margarita and get an upgrade to a 16-ounce at no extra charge. Jalapeno's is open Thursday through Tuesday and closed on Wednesday. Also great for takeout.
Now is a great time to plan for the yard and garden projects you want to tackle this spring, and the co-op can help. We have received our garden seeds from Renee's Seeds and from Cornucopia, both hybrid and heirloom seeds for vegetables, melons, tomatoes, peppers, herbs, and flowers. Patty has stocked our shelves with seed starting stations, potting and seed starter soils, mini greenhouses, and heating mats. Over in the hand tool aisle, you'll find everything from garden hand tools to rakes, shovels, spades, pitchforks, loppers, and pruners. If your tools need a little attention, we have files for sharpening, wood replacement handles, lubricants, and oils. We also have a wide variety of gloves and seasonal outerwear, as well as rubber boots for the whole family. Now is a great time to make sure your spring project list gets off to a great start. At the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Pend'Oreille, 208-263-6820.
Imagine you can smell the rich aroma of McCafe espresso beans brewing. Now imagine you can taste the chocolate, the caramel, the hazelnut, or French vanilla flavors, and the perfect swirls of thick whipped topping. If you could, you'd head to McDonald's right now for a hot or iced latte, mocha, or macchiato fix. It's decadence in a coffee cup. A small is only $2. McCafe, good is brewing. Price and participation may vary.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And with buy one, get one for a dollar, you can grab everyone's favorites, like a McChicken biscuit, chicken McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, and more. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At the YMCA, people are the foundation of who we are and who we have been for nearly 170 years. You are the why. And even though the why may look a little different right now, our commitment to you remains as strong as ever. So stay with us. Stay connected with your why. Stay connected with each other. Reach out to your local why today and stay with us for a better us.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
All right, we are back here at North Idaho Thursday, and we are joined right now on the phone with Patrick Shepler, who is a operating the all-new Breakfast Cantina in Pend'Oreille. Patrick, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
It's great. It's great to have you here. You have a couple of newish restaurants in the area. Today we'll be talking about the Breakfast Cantina. We'll tackle the Farmhouse Barbecue next week or the week after. We'll just have to see. So tell us about the Breakfast Cantina, just in case there's anybody out in listener land who's just never heard of it, doesn't know where it is. What are you guys all about?
Yeah, Breakfast Cantina is the new breakfast spot. We're located right next to Starbucks in Pend'Oreille, right off Schweitzer Cutoff. It's an American Mexican fast casual counter service restaurant. You come in, get, you know, breakfast burritos, all sorts of different bowls, smoothies, tacos, It's just designed to be fresh and fast, fun. It's been a great concept to develop and see how it works out in its first 8 weeks so far.
Yeah, you know, interesting time to open a new restaurant, but, you know, I think better days are ahead in the very near future. I know a couple of kids, high school age people who last weekend had the breakfast burrito, and their comment was, that was great. It was actually a real Mexican burrito compared to some other ones around. So tell us about your breakfast burrito. What makes it so good?
Yeah, the burrito is really simple, and it just takes good high-quality ingredients from the chorizo we use. It's not overpowering, but mm-hmm. It's not flavorless to the salsa that we make in-house, and just finding the right ratio. That happens to be the number one selling item that we have on our menu, and it outsells everything 3-to-1, it seems.
It's only $8. It features, as you mentioned, chorizo, eggs, crispy potatoes, a cheese blend, a cilantro wrapped up in a tortilla, of course, and then grilled. I'm starving just reading that.
Right. They're super snackable. And every time I go looking for breakfast, I look for a chorizo burrito myself. And so how could we have a Mexican-type restaurant and not have a chorizo breakfast burrito on it?
Absolutely. So where did the concept of this new restaurant for the Sandpoint area come from? Is it just something that you just thought up?
No, it's kind of a mutt. You know, Farmhouse decided to stop doing breakfast, mm-hmm. and we took over that property. Initially, it was supposed to be Taco Suave, which was going to be a lunch and early dinner taco bar. And we took it over, and we wanted to figure out how we could do breakfast, but do tacos still, because who doesn't love tacos?
Right.
And then the idea of fresh juices and smoothies came around, and next thing you know, we came up with Breakfast Cantina, and it's kind of just a mashup of a couple of great ideas, and it's cool seeing how it worked.
Well, I, for one, am going to be a regular customer because I love, A, breakfast, and B, Mexican food, so it's a natural. We talked about the breakfast burrito. You also have breakfast tacos, classic breakfast bowls with eggs, bacon, sausage, potatoes, a three cheese bowl, a Benedict bowl, a veggie bowl, carnita bowl. And is that something I'd never really thought about, pork carnitas for breakfast? Is that good?
It's delicious. It's it's almost pork nachos with a couple of eggs thrown on top of it.
Gotcha.
So if you like pork and you like nachos and you like eggs, it's the bowl for you.
And you have a chili chili bowl, a crispy tortillas, of course, chorizo, black bean, salsa, cheese, eggs, and then I'm not sure how you pronounce the beef bowl, the birria?
Yeah, birria. It's traditionally done with goat. It's based off a Mexican style stew, but we do it with beef. And you could get beef tacos or turn your tacos into a burrito. So we figured, how do we turn it into a breakfast bowl as well? So with its crispy potatoes and then the juice from the beef and the cheese and the cream and the eggs on top of it, that's become quite a popular hit.
I'm starving right now. And the breakfast burrito, Patrick, is more than breakfast. You guys are open for lunch as well?
Correct. Yeah, you can do breakfast all day. We're open until 2. The whole menu is available all day. So you come in and pick something to your liking, and you'll be able to get it from the time we open to the time we close.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, carnitas tacos, shredded beef, a veggie taco, an avocado and black bean quesadilla, chicken mole, which is delicious, avocado tostadas, and then you can make any pair of tacos into a burrito for just a dollar more. And, you know, it's fast, it's friendly, it's fresh. Those are three of my favorite F words right there. So you got a good thing going with that. And it's very, very affordable pricing-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole premise to everything we do is based on bargain and having a appealing price tag. It's so expensive to go out and eat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That anytime we could come at you with a good price point to where you could afford to take yourself and a friend or or your kids out to eat and not feel like you're broke when you're done and you leave satisfied. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, that's the key. Like the breakfast burrito we talked about at the outset, it's only $8. So, and it's all you'd want in a breakfast. You're going to be full the rest of the day. So, the breakfast cantina, you can just come on in and have just regular sit-down service, right?
Correct.
So you're doing that. You can also get food to go, of course, in this day and age. You can skip the line and order online at breakfastcantina.com. That's breakfastcantina.com. They're also on Facebook. Again, burritos, tacos, breakfast bowls, smoothies. Also, we mentioned that you have lunch, but not only that, you have packaged cocktails to go and beer. That's pretty unusual for a breakfast restaurant.
Yeah, we've got some beers and a couple of different canned cocktail options. And most of the people coming in are going for the fruit smoothies. But if you're coming in for lunch and want a Mexican-style beer, Corona, Pacifico, or Tecate, or we carry a couple of different dry fly cocktails in there.
Oh,
those are available, too.
Yeah, dry fly, that's the best. Again, it's breakfastcantina.com, right next to the star, in between like the Edward Jones and the Starbucks there, across the Highway 95 from STCU, right at Schweitzer Cutoff. You can't miss it. Big sign out front on the highway sign. So pull on in or order online and just come in and pick it up. Or you can give them a call anytime at, of course, 208-597-7073, 597-7073. Patrick, thanks. I know you're super busy. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We'll have you on in the coming weeks to talk more about the farmhouse barbecue right up the highway from and across the street from the breakfast cantina.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. We are going to take our final break, and when we come back, we'll be Dr. Joseph Wassef from Bonner General Health will be with us, and we'll be talking about kind of the psychological aspect of this pandemic, how to cope with it, and just the latest, what's going on over at BGH. So stick around.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet. Taylor & Sons attempts to offer our customers tremendous value in our sales and service departments. One of our best examples is Taylor & Sons' selection of new and pre-owned Chevrolet Equinoxes. The Equinox's all-wheel drive system is one of the best in class, offering four-season handling equivalent to traditional four-wheel drive models. The Equinox comes with tons of standard and available safety features, such as side blind zone alerts, rear park assist, and slow-speed pedestrian braking. Finally, the Equinox is affordable for a lot of budgets, with pre-owned models starting at $299 per month with $2,000 due at signing, plus taxes and fees on approved credit. All of Taylor & Sons' late model and new Chevrolet Equinoxes come with the security of the Taylor & Sons Powertrain Advantage, offering a 10-year or 150,000-mile powertrain warranty at no cost to you. You can view our entire selection of new and pre-owned Equinox models online at tschevy.com. There you will find multiple pictures, detailed descriptions, and clear transaction pricing for every vehicle in stock. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint is now hiring in all departments. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net. Super One Foods continues to go to great lengths to keep their customers safe with constant cleaning and other safety measures. For your convenience, try their shop online service. Just place your order online and set the time for pickup. Your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to your car. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
As a member of the Sandpoint business community since 1963, Lighthouse Foods is a proud supporter of Bulldog Sports. Since the beginning, Lighthouse has been committed to investing in and having a positive impact on its employees and the communities in which it operates. Proud to be 100% employee-owned, Lighthouse has been named Best Workplace and Best Innovative Manufacturer in Bonner County. Interested in starting a new career? Go online to lighthousefoods.com for a list of current job openings.
It's Mardi Gras at Coeur d'Alene Casino. Join in the celebration this February for a chance to win a share of $70,000 in cash and prizes. On February 26th, 20 lucky winners will receive a share of $20,000 cash and a chance to qualify for the Mardi Gras giveaway on February 27th, where we'll give away another $50,000 cash. The $70,000 Mardi Gras giveaway, only at Coeur d'Alene Casino. For more information, visit cdacasino.com.
I'm Andrew Saul, Commissioner of Social Security. Beware of telephone scammers pretending to be government employees. Real Social Security employees will never threaten you. Callers threatening you with arrest or other legal action and demanding money are not from us. If you receive a call like this, hang up, do not provide them with any form of payment or information. Report the call at oig.ssa.gov.
North Idaho's radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right. We are back, North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Woody. It's our last segment for today. And as every Thursday we've been doing for the last several months, well, it started out with this whole pandemic. We were doing every day for several months, but kind of getting back to normal here over the coming months. And joining us, I think, for the third time in the last year, Dr. Joseph Wassef is with us. Dr. Joe, how are you?
Hey, Bob. I'm doing well, all things considered.
Yeah.
Good to chat with you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you. What's the latest at BGH? How are things going there? I know I spoke to Kristen this morning, and there are just four COVID-related patients in the hospital right now, which is excellent.
Yes. There's a lot that I could probably say, but in preparation for this phone call, I was talking to some of the managers that have been helping organize the vaccine, and I was just told that we're getting between 50 and 100 phone calls related to the vaccine every single day. So there's a lot of excitement and energy going into helping support folks.
Well,
get the vaccine?
Yeah, of course, you know, that is posing problems for you guys in Panhandle Health District, Kinuxu Health also. But the good news is there's a lot of people that want it, and I was generally worried about that. But the clinic, instead of being 3 days a week at BGH, is now Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, but it's by appointment only. You cannot just show up. And, in fact, they discourage you from doing that. I know people, at least at Panhandle Health, the week that they opened up their clinic, people were just showing up right and left. They have presently over 5,000 people registered. They actually had to shut off registration for the age group that's going now, the over 65s, but it's now open again. So hopefully get more and more vaccines, and as more places become vaccination clinics that get everybody done here in a decent amount of time. As far as being the clinical psychologist that you are, have things changed for you on your day-in, day-out work in the last year?
Well, I would say, as far as hours and things of that nature goes, no, it really hasn't. We've stayed pretty much, as busy as we always have been. I would say contextually it's changed in that we do a lot more telehealth, as most mental health practitioners have kind of moved in that direction, at least during the pandemic. But I would say the topic of conversation and the way people are coping, and that has changed. I've definitely seen folks go from a place of being more fear based about the pandemic and worried about themselves and their loved ones, and now it's moving into sort of later stages as we get more hope, but the reality that the pandemic is still ongoing, leads folks to some frustration.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've noticed, I've worked in radio all of my adult life, and we've always been known to get kind of wacky phone calls at radio stations. It's just people say weird things when they call radio stations.
Sure.
But in this last year, it's like people just losing it. Just complaining about the weird things that we have nothing to do with and things like that. Have you found that people kind of this last summer or when things started getting bad here in Bonner, Boundary County, that people were kind of losing their minds a little bit?
I don't know if I would exactly
I guess that's
use
a bit
that
rough.
Language. Yeah, as a psychologist, but I understand what you're saying, and that you look more broadly at what's been going on, in the country, in the world, and what we do know is that stress compounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever there's something difficult that someone is going through, easily emotionally we attach it to other things that are going on in our lives, and as I've been working with folks, I've been trying to normalize the experience in that just the simple fact that people are going through a pandemic like this, it doesn't matter who you are and what your situation is in the country, you know, everybody seems to fall into at least a minimal to moderate level of stress just by simply being alive at this time. And so when we can look at things from that perspective, hopefully it gives us a little bit more understanding about how people are showing up in the world behaviorally, emotionally, and gives us all a little bit more, you know, kindness to share with one another.
And of course, a year of all years, it's not just the pandemic. I mean, there's, you know, there's a huge controversial election year and protests. And I mean, it just seemed like every day there was another thing coming up. Going, oh my gosh, what else can happen in the world?
Yeah.
So it's just been very stressful on everybody. Now, with that having been said, and the vaccines finally getting out and people getting vaccinated, I know it's got to be a tremendous relief for these people over 65 to finally at least get their first shot, and knowing they're only a few weeks away from their second shot. Is that changing people's minds? Are you seeing that? I mean, maybe they're feeling a little more optimistic now?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say globally, you know, how things are changing. I would say it depended on folks' perspective about the pandemic to begin with. But those that were, you know, more fearful of the pandemic and about, you know, about getting the virus or spreading the virus, for that group of people, it's pumped hope into our community.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of people considering traveling again or seeing loved ones again in a way that has just really had to be put on pause.
Mm-hmm.
For that group of people, it has changed the conversation tremendously.
And for what I'm curious about, I don't know if you've come across it in your practice, but people who are maybe a little afraid of the vaccine itself, not sure. I mean, they could say that Moderna and Pfizer, you know, had to rush it through to get approval.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to people who are a little bit hesitant of it because they're just not sure about it?
Yeah, you know, the reactions, you know, as far as like the side effects and things like that, people are having, you know, different responses. And really, I don't know necessarily that I'm the most qualified to answer, you know, some of what you're saying. I can only speak to what I have seen in my little small bubble, which is, you know, a range of reactions, but, you know, they usually subside within, you know, a 24-hour period. And overall, when I've asked folks, like, okay, even though you were pretty tired or lethargic or you didn't feel that good within that, you know, first 24 hours, are you glad that you got it? And the answer, you know, overwhelmingly is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, like, not everybody is going to have one of those types of reactions. A lot of folks just have sort of you know, an achiness in their arm and go on with their lives. But some people are having, you know, more flu-like symptoms, but still are glad that they got it.
Yeah, because like you said, it's been, from just the people I've talked to or heard about, saying it's only been a day or two, and then they feel fine afterwards. So knowing that, as opposed to knowing you have COVID and you're very sick, is a much better situation to be in. Doctor, for people who have had, you know, all of us had a tough year mentally, but people who have, you know, a little more severe, what would you say to them as far as, you know, the future, and can they come out of maybe the depression that they're in, and what they should do to possibly seek treatment? How does all that work?
Yeah, I had three thoughts sort of running through my head as you were asking that question. Like, one, you know, just going back to that sense of hope and the idea of normalcy and what that's going to look like within the, you know, the next 6 months, because, you know, things still won't necessarily go back to the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, things are opening up, but I foresee as a nation, as a world, that there's some healing that is going to have to happen, I think, before we really get to, you know, a place of normalcy, really. And what I mean by that is not only is there the vaccine, but there's all these or the pandemic, but just like how we have treated each other and related to each other, and both politically and how we you know, how folks have shown up in the world. There's that secondary layer of emotional work that has to happen, really, I think, after folks feel safe enough, or maybe in conjunction with people feeling safe to venture out again like they did. You know, I guess the other part that I was thinking of is that, you know, there's been several secondary positive things that have come out of the pandemic, you know, figuring out things like telehealth and dialing that in, but also just like the ongoing conversation about mental health and it served as an ongoing platform to continue to decrease that stigma that comes with talking about things like depression and anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would imagine in this last year, there are people going through depression and anxiety who may not have had it before. Maybe they could keep it to themselves more. And then this year, just kind of everything coming to the surface. Dr. Joseph Wassef mm-hmm. is joining us from BGH. And is there anything else you've observed through this period of time that you would like to share regarding mental health and the pandemic?
Hey, that's a great question. You know, there's probably so much that, you know, it's hard for me to know what to comment on. You know, I'll say broadly that I do experience folks, you know, with pandemic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when is this over? Can I just be done with it? And really, the numbers that we're seeing suggest, like, hey, we're not there yet. You know, you hear all these different terms about, you know, smelling the barn and, you know, that accidents happen within, you know, so many miles of the home, you know, and all of that just correlates to the idea of, you know, when things are getting close to the end, making, you know, folks not always making decisions that are you know, the healthiest. And so I guess my encouragement is, like, recognize that we're headed in the right direction, take care of each other. We're not there yet, but we're well on our way.
Yeah, absolutely. And people, you know, you mentioned pandemic fatigue. That's a very good term. I've just heard so many people say, you know, things like, well, I'm over it, so I'm just going to act like it's not happening. But that is the opposite of what you should really be doing. Doctor, if somebody is hearing this today and feeling like, yeah, I think maybe I need to talk to somebody. I need some help. I've never done anything like this before. What should they do? Should they call your office, or what's the protocol?
There are several mental health agencies and individual practitioners, and one of the other, like, great things that have come out of the pandemic is us, you know, not just in the mental health field, but I think as a population, we've all gotten that much more flexible with how to address our needs. And so, bringing it back to your question. You know, whether it's Kiniksu, Sandpoint Psychotherapy, the hospital, NICMH, as well as, you know, I know there's several other agencies and then individual practitioners that are available. I would say just call, see who's available, who's meeting in person versus telehealth, and you can find out what is there a wait list and what is that length of time. You know, a singular great resource is the Sandpoint Resource Center. They've done a really nice job of, you know, mobilizing and centralizing different resources, including mental health that exists in our community. So they're a great place to start if you want to find out broadly who's practicing in our community.
Yeah, the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, they have a great website, and they are in touch with every organization, no matter what your need, whether it's veteran services or, you know, assistance with paying your rent or what have you, or the mental health aspect of things. And as always, you can go to bonnergeneral.org, bonnergeneral.org, and it's a wealth of information there, and phone numbers as well. Dr. Joseph Wassef, thanks for joining us once again today. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Take care. Always great to have these doctors and other folks connected with BGH to join us. Speaking of BGH, don't forget their virtual heart ball is this Saturday. You can go to their website. It'll lead you to the Bonner General Health Foundation's information on how you can participate in that. That's it for me this week. We're back in here. Well, we got the Super Bowl Sunday. Looking forward to that. We're back in here Wednesday. We'll have a Valentine's-related Ricky's Top 10, and then North Idaho Thursday. Till then, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.